Today was my lucky day. I was in studio and I was able to do a podcast earlier with Anthony Fury and Mike Wixon. And I asked them to stick around because, quite frankly, I had an issue that really bothered me over the weekend. And I wanted to talk about it and I wanted them to kind of bend an ear and I wanted them to listen to the concern. So Friday, I'm getting ready for a big weekend, you know, all happy, getting packed up, ready to go. Long weekend, Labor Day, ready for some fun. And I look at the news and it says GDP came in and it's basically shrunk by 1.6%. And then I start looking at the headlines and the headlines, I got to take off my glasses because I got to read them to you. Canadian economy shrinks 1.6% in the second quarter as U.S. tariffs squeeze exports. Canadian GDP shrinks in the second quarter, but economists aren't fretting recession yet, right? On the verge of a recession, Trump tariffs slam Canada. New GDP numbers show. Canada's second quarter GDP contracted 1.6%, sparking fears of a looming technical recession. So now we're in a recession, right? So, and you know, you guys have been in media way longer than I have. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, Friday? Right? We dropped the GDP numbers, right? We send the message to the whole nation that watch out, we're in a recession. You know, we have another quarter, then we're going to be in recession. We have to take recession measures. What the heck are we doing, guys? Like,
do you think that they were actually sharing this with the nation on a Friday before a holiday weekend? I think they were duly burying this at the last weekend of summer. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but then to Paul's point, thinking it over, talking it over on the long weekend, it's also given people something to talk about in the family barbecue circuit. So it's an interesting one, really, what the push here is in terms of this. Adding the Trump factor onto it, we know whether it's in Ontario, politics there, federal politics, everybody loves, be scared of Trump, be worried, don't worry about what's going on over here, don't talk about the economy here, let's talk about all the Trump factor. Whatever you think of the guy, like him or dislike him, there's a sleight of hand trick, I think, going on in the way we talk about this.
Well, is it, you know, we're going, so this is interesting. So coming out of the weekend, we're having a meeting with our cabinet to talk about going into the House on September 15th, right? No budget has been dropped. We haven't seen the annual report for 2025. So is this softening us up for, hey, you know what? The results might not be that good, but it was done to save you, right? So now if you're going to avoid a recession, you know, we need to make these expenditures. We need to do those things. I'm like, okay, enough already. Do we really need to do this anymore? And I know governments do it. You know, if I have bad news, I drop it at Christmas. I drop it before vacations. I drop it before. But aren't we getting a little old for this? Isn't this kind of, haven't we played this game? And I know, like, that's a political game that is played on and on again. But, you know, it got me. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe we're doing this again. So
it's so funny that you say this because I still maintain, and I've watched Mayor Olivia Chow. I've watched it happen in other municipalities at the municipal level, where laws are changed at the very last minute on a Friday. They are announced. The vote is taken in private. And suddenly we're into the weekend when you don't have a hope of getting your counselor or your MP or whomever, you've received bad news. Here's bad news. Good luck. Have a nice weekend.
Exactly. So I jumped, and Nick, if you go to the next slide. So right away, and my poor wife, she's probably wondering where I went. Right away, I jump on my computer and I go to the next slide, Nick. I go to it and I say to myself, okay, like if I look at the numbers and I'm trying to think, why did it go down? So right away, my accounting brain goes on. I said, okay, went down 1.6%, right? And this is kind of a quarter over quarter analysis. That's how they do the GDP analysis. And I'm thinking, okay, so what went wrong, right? Because last quarter, we had record quarters, right? We had records, so we were doing 2% GDP growth month on month. And where did we go astray? So, of course, right, business investment down. Well, it makes sense. Business investment right now, based on the tariffs, I agree on the tariffs analysis, goes up and down like a toilet seat, right? Donald Trump says one thing, we all run to the left.
Reactionary, yeah.
You know, I hate this, quite frankly. You know, we get these news reports, there's a discussion happening today on tariffs.
Right.
I'm like, okay, right?
Pause. Don't open the new plant yet. Yeah, you know, exactly. Why? Yeah. Either they need the product or they don't.
Yeah. Now I found it funny because you guys, you know, you guys saw it too. Right after they make the Friday announcement, what happens in the U.S.?
Well,
they announced that he lost the court decision, right?
There's no hope for Trump's tariffs in the first place. They mean nothing. Why? How do these numbers reflect so badly on us doing what we do as Canadians? I hate to say it, we overreact, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
Can I go off on a deep end here? And I want to ask you as the accountant here. So we've talked before about immigration challenges, creating economic challenges for the people who are newly arrived and for other categories of people. I feel like I know that more and more people are operating off the grid in the way they conduct their economics, their business, their jobs, like decent people just off the grid, and then organized crime proliferating massively. How accurate are these numbers?
Great question.
Now? How much of a black market GDP even is there?
Well, the interesting thing is it's a blunt tool. So, and if you look at GDP, so GDP was something. It's interesting because GDP was created after World War II. They started tracking GDPs around the world to get a kind of a base, you know, well-being of the world. But GDP itself is not a good indicator of how countries are doing because it's not foreign exchange or inflation adjusted, right? So, you know, I started kind of digging in over the weekend because it was bothering me. I'm thinking, why the heck are we still reporting GDP? Why are we calling recessions on GDP? And quite frankly, our GDP has not been super great for years. So
we're in a
epidemic.
Downturn.
Yeah, that's been created because of tariffs and everything else. We have been in a non-productive cycle for quite a long time. And, you know, I've talked about it with both of you on different occasions, but the real, real standard to look at is GDP, which is purchasing power parity adjusted. So that's one where you actually go and you take a look at your basket of goods for a country, and then you take out foreign exchange and you make it like a common dollar, and you inflation adjust it.
Yeah.
And then you come to basically a dollar-to-dollar or apple-to-apple comparison. So because GDP comparing between countries, quite frankly, has a huge foreign exchange swing based on currency values. So really not a good indicator. Inside a country, you can look at it, but it's a very basic indicator. But we use it kind of for these giant statements that try to shift us to how we're going or whether we're going to recessions. Well, you know what? I got to tell you. So, and this is a crazy story. I'm in Florida, right? And I'm have six businesses in the panhandle of Florida. And I'm cooking. Life is good. And I'm doing really well. And all of a sudden, I start to notice some weird real estate happenings. You know, people are buying multiple condos and the unemployment rate is going up. But GDP is looking good, right? GDP in America is growing at 1, 2% every quarter. And I'm thinking, wow, well, okay, you know, I'm younger, you know, maybe more naive. I'm thinking, man, like, it is pretty good, right? I think I'm okay. I'm levering myself to buy more businesses because I'm thinking that's the right thing to do because I'm in a hot turn on this business. It's the right time to be running this business. And so I get up to six licenses and things are moving. And Canada is showing a downturn in GDP. So I'm sitting there, I'm looking at it and saying, wow, I'm glad I left Canada. You know, I'm now down in Florida. I got everything happening. The mortgage meltdown hits,
right?
We get wiped out. I get a phone call from the Bank of America, and a banker is a personal friend of mine, went golfing with him, ate dinner with him, knew his family. He said, I'm really sorry, Paul. He says, I got to call all your loans, business, personal, everything, and you have 7 days to pay everything.
Wow.
Right? So I come back to Canada. I basically lever, sell whatever I can, everything. I go back and I try to keep as many businesses as I can. My partner, my business partner is from Florida. He's doing the same thing. And we're running like crazy. But, you know, the GDP indicators were all wrong, right? Because we saw them.
You didn't see that on the horizon?
No, it's a number of factors.
So the top line number says you're doing great, but the banker says we're closing shop.
We're closing shop. And we were done, right? And I'm like, man, that really sucks. And Mark says to me, he says, well, welcome to America, right? And I said, no, not welcome to America. The lesson I learned, quite frankly, it's a number of indicators, right? So, you know, if you're unemployment, if you're housing, all these things got to be added up. You know, is it look, you know, great in Canada right now? You know, I think we got to be concerned. But I think, you know, putting out something about GDP before the long weekend without looking at the other factors and talking about...
But also saying, and this isn't really a recession. So just so you know, nobody said recession.
Well, it's funny, Bloomberg, you know, the only one that was the anti-recession over the weekend was Bloomberg, right? So, which is interesting too, because I think we got to be a little bit cautious because, you know, I just know from my experience of that meltdown, right? They want to get their money out, right? Last people that want to be left.
No, no, it's all good. Yeah. Keep buying.
And so, they've recently been stung. They don't forget.
Yeah, exactly. So they're the ones who want to exit first, so they leave you in the game, right? So
it's funny. It's if it's a pump and dump scheme with one stock, it's illegal. If it's with the entire economy,
yeah,
okay, it's just called life.
Yeah, exactly, right.
So somebody still wins, Anthony. Don't kid yourself. There's the big players still win on that gamble, on that bet.
So, you know, let's talk about GDP for a minute, because I think that's something that we should talk about GDP. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I think we should talk about GDP in another way. And I think I'm just, the reason I brought it up and I want to talk to both of you, because we look at our GDP and we say, okay, we're doing okay, we're number 9. So if you look at GDP, just the number of trillions in US dollars, Canada is about $2.2 trillion in GDP on an annual basis for 2024. The U.S. is the monster in that equation with $29 trillion U.S. China second. And I think we have, if you throw it up there, India, you know. And it's funny because, you know, when I look at this, I always am amazed. Yeah, there you go. I'm always amazed at how it drops so fast. So, you know, you go from you go from China at 18.7 trillion, and then all of a sudden you have India at 4 trillion, which I always think to myself, isn't India a bigger country, bigger on people, but not particularly big in the GDP market? It's big, but you figure if it's 4 trillion and we're 2.2 trillion and India has a billion people, right? It shows you kind of what the country is. But, you know, and then you have all the European countries and us, right? So part of the G7 equation that we always kind of hinge on when we talk about our country, and Anthony, you know, and we've talked about it, we talked about it in a previous process, we always say we're this huge country. We're a G7 country. Yeah. We're a major country. You know, we throw GDP up there. That's a little bit of a disguise, right? That's kind of what it calls a shell game number-wise. So we say, okay, we have $2.2 trillion in GDP. Okay, that's fine. Now let's power purchasing price adjust it, right? And let's see where we stand.
Well, what does that mean, power purchasing price?
So that's the one I talked about where you foreign exchange.
That's after the foreign exchange is adjusted.
You equalize inflation. Foreign exchange. Okay. So basically, if you looked at a basket of goods across every nation, it would be the same currency, right?
Gotcha. Okay. So this is the great equalizer.
The equalizer, okay, right? So then when you look at the equalizer, well, lo and behold, we fall from spot 9 to spot 16.
Yeah.
So 1,024. So if you look,
it makes sense though, the way you describe it with India and so forth. You're like, how can a billion people, even though the economy, it's not rosy there and they're not all upper middle class, like how can a billion people not be outpacing us when they put all their efforts together?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Right. And so they climb up the map, you know, they climb up and quite frankly, China moves ahead of the US because now what this indicator is talking to us about is our productivity, which is where we need to be, right? We've been talking about this for a long time.
So, Paul, how do we view ourselves as a G7 country?
Well,
if we're number 16 and, frankly, at the best of times, number 9.
We negotiate ourselves in, right? Yeah, yeah. So we buy dinner. We enter NATO, right? We do all these things.
We were around for the ride, like the Vimy Ridge, Passchendaele stuff, participating in World War II.
Yeah.
Just kind of always being around the way you let a family member join in the opportunity.
Even though they're basically sleeping on your couch because they can't afford to really be at the party.
Well, and I think like the Vimy Ridge stuff, like we were very much a part of the game early on. There's a holdover from that, and people aren't yet recognizing that we're no longer a big player like we were back in the earlier part of the 20th century.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we don't want to realize that, right? We want to keep, all our foreign trips, our dinners, our diplomats, our, flights, our planes, everything we are doing right now would go away if we said, hey, we're just not big enough to do that anymore, right? And quite frankly, when you look at the numbers, now, it even gets better, and if you break it down, because now we look at our per capita, right? So then we start to say, okay, per capita. And per capita has been interesting because our per capita spend productivity-wise has gone down or stagnated in comparison to the U.S. So even though the U.S., and it's funny because now with tariffs happening, the big debate, Senator Ron Johnson, who I enjoy listening to, he makes the debate that the tariffs won't work because Americans will not be productive enough. They don't have the skilled workers or the desire to go back into factories, right? Which I, quite frankly, when the tariffs came, I totally bought into that. Like, that was my first argument. I lived in the U.S., quite frankly. I worked along in the construction business with many U.S. construction firms, right? I wasn't working with many Americans. I'll be truthful with you. When I hit a job site, whether it be Florida, Oklahoma, Illinois, whatever, it was me and a lot of new immigrants, quite frankly, some great Mexican people that I was working with. And quite frankly, no one there was homegrown, right? So
are you willing to show up for this dollar an hour as opposed to that dollar an hour?
Yeah, they weren't, right? Yeah.
So and then also the unions are so powerful in the U.S. that any sort of major manufacturing shift in-house would quickly be met with, well, we can't afford to do it here based on the hourly rates that the unions are demanding.
Yeah, those jobs were gone, right? Those jobs were going to other countries, and quite frankly, anything building that was needed to be built wasn't being built at home or by people who came from home. So so that's kind of where they were. So the per capita, right? So we stagnated. So think about that. So that's an interesting scale. The U.S., that's an argument that's a valid argument in the U.S. They grew on the GDP per capita side, and we didn't.
Yeah,
right. We've stagnated. We've almost stood still. So, and we've lost ground to the point.
Well, how is that possible if we're doing pretty much the same things that the U.S. is doing that we're not in the same realm?
So we loaded in. What we did is we loaded in more people into the country, right? Who are less productive with fewer projects, right? So the U.S., good or bad, they do build, right? So the one thing down there, they built a lot of projects, they build them fast, and they're very efficient in their building, and their mandate for their companies is very aggressive, right? That's a cultural thing. Ours isn't, quite frankly. So we're loading in unskilled workers who, quite frankly, weren't being as productive and weren't being trained as fast or put in. The social safety net in Canada allowed them to sit without having to become productive.
Right.
In America, there's no social safety net. So I go to America, I land, right? And that's why, quite frankly, most of the people that were actually, and we don't talk about it very much, most of the people who are being smuggled across the Mexico-US borders, what were they doing first? They're heading up to Quebec.
I was going to say, were they not coming to Canada? Was their final destination?
I don't think I worked with a Turkish trade that hadn't crossed through Quebec for probably 3 years here.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking them. I love those guys. But quite frankly, the stories they all told, they crossed over the Quebec border. They came through Mexico, went up through the U.S. They had no interest in staying in the U.S. There's no social safety net in the U.S. They knew that. They weren't going to stop. Under Biden, we were making, look at that caravan crossing the U.S. border, right? Yeah, sure. They're crossing the U.S. border to get to the Quebec border. Right? That's what they were doing. So quite frankly, our productivity as our population's growing is going down. So interesting part is, now, this is the part that, as I'm going through on the weekends, blowing my head off, I'm looking at the GDP per capita. Go to the next slide, Nick. And it's small, I apologize, but the GDP per capita and basically PPP adjusted, so that parity adjusted, we slipped to 30th in the world.
God.
Right? So we didn't just slip. So on the GDP, we adjusted it for PPP. We slipped to number 16. Then when we actually do per capita, we slip out to number 30. Right? So think about some of the, and you know, I just wanted to kind of run through, and this was blew my mind on the weekend. Right?
So raw GDP is kind of the equivalent of EBITDA from the investing world.
Yes.
In other words, the most attractive number possible based on real stats, the most attractive extrapolation.
Yeah. So then, so countries that are ahead of us, which is, I was shocked to hear, Australia's ahead of us. Right? Australia has had a dreadful time coming out of COVID. I don't know if you followed Australia, but Australia, same issue as us,
yeah.
Housing, immigration, right? But, you know, and they were criticized heavily. Remember, the government was just chastised, right? And raked over the coals. And I think, Nick, if you can go to the next slide on this one. But it really was raked over the coals. Finland, Korea, Germany, Guyana, Taiwan, Denmark, Netherlands. Like, it's amazing. Like, the
Norway.
Countries. What's that?
Norway.
Norway. I mean. Norway. Now, some of these countries, you know, an economist will make the argument that some of these countries are, their GDP is made off of tax shelters.
Right.
Right? Okay. I get that. You know, there's some of these, I think I looked at.
Luxembourg shows up on
there. That's the first few.
Yeah.
And Macau and their situation. But all the other ones above us are just very similar European quasi-socialist states.
Yeah. Like Ireland always gets a bad rap because of its tax shelters, quite frankly. That's what makes its GDP high,
what's
right?
Number four, I think.
Yeah. So that's why it gets up there. But quite frankly, the rest of them, you know, if I look at, there's not many on that list that can actually be categorized that way.
Most of them are just doing business like we are.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, I kind of, and I'll fast forward a little and as I go through this, but, you know, it was interesting. In 2022, when member Minister Friedland, remember the finance minister, she tried to talk about this. She brought it up. She said, listen, we have to increase our productivity. And if we don't, our children won't be as prosperous and the Canadian dream will die, right? So, and the way we're going to do this is we're going to actually try to set targets for GDP, right? And, I thought, you know what? Not a big fan, but you know what?
Sensible.
Smart. A lot of professors, you know, we basically had a couple of professors from the University of Calgary came out and they, you know, did a comparison of us GDP-wise per capita versus the U.S. and said we are in danger. So we did all that. And we saw the divide of about 20,000 between GDP per capita. So in the U.S., if you they kept growing and their GDP per capita equated to about a $22,000 per person divide between Canada. So we were at one point, we were neck and neck.
Right.
And then they pulled away and grew at 22,000 more. And that was because their productivity increased so much and ours didn't. So I get that. But now going into this budget coming up and going into what we're about to hit in session, the key to me is now to set some parameters for GDP. So rather than tell us we're going into a recession, tell us how we avoid a recession. Tell us what we need to do to create programs that'll be productive to avoid it. So, and this is where I think...
I wonder if that will be part of the discussion coming back with the legislature. I wonder if we will hear that there is a plan. I mean, our prime minister is a banker. Do you have faith that maybe this is something that he's keeping an eye on, that maybe we will... see a strategy that builds itself around a more robust GDP?
Yeah, he's got it so covered. He doesn't need a budget. You don't need to ask questions and just, you know, ride the wave. He's got it all covered. Don't worry, folks.
Yeah. Thank
you. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah. I think that's kind of the message that he sent.
Right, which is print money, right? We talked about earlier.
Thanks. So, that song will not leave my head for the next 2 weeks, Anthony. I appreciate that.
But, Bobby Darin.
But it does tie, you know, he knows, and any economist will tell you, and they do know this, quite frankly, they need to print money. Yeah. I do. At this point, they have to print money because, quite frankly, borrowing money will just increase the debt interest ratio, and that's not a good thing for the country and the debt on the country. So they have to print money. They have to print money to put them into productive programs to grow GDP. So where he's got to kind of, and rather than telling us we're going, because when the messaging is, and I don't, hopefully he's not telling us, but when the media tells us that we're going into a recession, that's really saying I'm going to give up. That's kind of that moment. That's that moment I'm in Florida when I get that phone call and say I'm giving up. And I don't want to give up. I want him to print money. But I want him to print money to put it into productive programs and projects, right, that will grow the country and get our GDP per capita going, our GDP PPP. And I want him to put the metrics in place, the accountability to do that. So don't give us, you know,
we're going into a recession. Also, that talk leads us there.
But you're onto something. You know, that's a good situation to have everyone be fearful mm-hmm. selling and so forth. That's good for the M&A guys. Mm-hmm. That's good for the asset guys. That's good for all of
everybody's
friends.
Anything.
So if you want to go in that direction, you know, there's like you push recession. There's also good buying opportunities for certain circles.
Yeah, recession. Listen, who does recession benefit? The rich, right? Yeah.
Anyone with cash.
With cash. So quite frankly, creating a recession is good for a small group of society. It's not good for the low to middle.
Scoop up their houses.
It's not good. And that's not where we want to go.
Affordable, fun, you know.
So let's not do it, right?
Yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean? Because I, you know, and Anthony, I've told him this story a couple of times, so I'm probably boring him with it. But, you know, go back to Florida, right? So, you know, that call comes, the bankers. Yeah. I'm driving to work. So I came back to Canada and I liquidated, I levered, I went through it all. I fly back to Florida and I'm driving to work in the morning. So I from my rental place, I'm driving to work and I'm driving through all the neighborhoods and the doors are flapping open, the pools, the people are in pulling the copper wire, they're pillaging the homes. There's neighborhood after neighborhood. The security gates are all left open for the security neighborhoods, secured neighborhoods. It's like a ghost town. You know, U-Haul's moving down the highway. And that's what happens, right? It decimates areas, right?
When people start handing in their keys.
They throw their keys on the kitchen table and they walked out. And that's
a restart of life for those people, by the way. You know, this, we look at the economy, but you think about the process of going, getting to the point with your spouse and your family or whatever the case is. And you have to sit down and say, guys, I'm sorry, we have to give our house back to the bank.
Right. But we don't need to do that, right? What we need to do is set the metrics and the accountability to move forward to create projects, right? Listen, we've seen it in the past. China did it, you know, and I know people say, oh, China, communist country, right? No, they were in a really bad economic situation decades ago.
They decentralized.
They decentralized. They made loans to small businesses. They increased productivity. They moved money into the economy.
Small banks growing bigger businesses.
Yeah. With less resource base than we have. See, that's the crazy. That's when I see this GDP thing go across the screen, I think, my goodness, we're resource rich, right? We have skilled trades. We've brought all these people into the country now. So we have people, right? We need to train and deploy them into projects that will grow the GDP of the country. And, you know, I appreciate you guys sitting down with me today, but that's really the message I wanted to leave. And if anything going into the session coming up, we can kind of get out there is let's quickly get the projects going because so far we haven't, right? We've kind of come out, we've talked about a bunch of stuff. There's been a lot of meetings. I don't know if you guys noticed there's a cabinet meeting, there's a minister's meeting, there's a premier's meeting. There's a lot of meetings, right? Let's stop the meetings. Let's get some projects going and let's get some plans and strategies into place and let's start growing because that's what's going to move the country forward and increase the productivity.
Thanks, Paul. I'm glad to, you know what, to be honest with you, and Anthony, maybe you're the guy who understands all of this.
No.
I sit with Paul and I realize afterward, I really did trust that GDP was the marker, but I didn't
trusted the government.
I trusted,
you know, every day.
It's not in my nature. I don't know how that happened. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. And you know what? For those of you out there, and I really appreciate you listening in, please subscribe. And I also would like you to comment, because the more, you know, I want to get people active in this discussion, because I think the more we talk about this, we change the tone, the temperament, and the agenda, which for the better of the country. And I think that's what we need to be doing right now. So please, you know, let us know your comments. I'd like to hear them. And for those of you who, any experts, come on the show. I'd love to have this discussion with you.
For sure.
If you have another way of looking at it, I want to do a show on interest rates, because I think that's a really interesting show to have, which is another indicator that, you know, all of a sudden we're talking about, you know, our savior is lowering interest rates. Another show, but it isn't. So let's look forward to having that discussion.
God, I thought that was our savior too. All right. I better show up for that lesson too.
All right. Thanks, guys.